I kind of have this tradition of whenever I get on the field, I'm banging my like stick against the poles, like hopping up and down, trying to get myself like game ready.
Welcome to the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast. Every week, we'll be talking shop with lacrosse goalies, coaches, and special guests. This is the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast. Now your host, Coach Damon Wilson.
Ladies and gentlemen, goalies from around the world, welcome to the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast. I'm your host, Coach Damon, and this is the show 100% dedicated to the lacrosse goalie. And on this show, my job is to interview those goalies and find out what makes them so great. Let's listen to their stories of how they learned this position, the mindsets that they have, even the drills that they do, the things that they've learned along the way. And hopefully with each episode, you can pick a thing or two and incorporate it into your own lacrosse goalie game. I know I certainly do, even with the youth goalies. And that is who I am interviewing. That is my guest on this show. It is the 2025 goalie, Bailey Terry. Bailey reached out to me and wanted to be on the podcast so bad, and we made it happen. And it was a treat to talk with Bailey. Like I said, 2025 goalie coming out of Rockville, Maryland, plays club ball for the Hoco Girls Lacrosse Club. It was awesome to chat with Bailey, and I know you're going to enjoy this conversation with 2025 goalie Bailey Terry. Before we begin this episode, I want to read a word from our sponsor, and that is the Lacrosse Goalie Summit 8. In mid-December, we did 5 days of free virtual lacrosse goalie training featuring the top coaches in the sport, and it was awesome. So many amazing learning moments, so many great drills, so many great mental lessons, techniques, mindfulness, what it takes to succeed as a lacrosse goalie. The event was perfect for all ages. Both boys and girls, all skill levels, everyone learned something. Unfortunately, the event is over, but you still can get access to the replays. That is 19 plus hours of elite lacrosse goalie training from some of the best coaches in the sport. Colin Kirst, Matthew Nunes, Taylor Moreno, Owen McElroy, Drake Porter, Matt Gill, Dr. T, Tim Cassie, Simon Bellamy, Mr. Wonderful, the list goes on and on. There was 19 names. Oh, did I mention Emily Sterling, goalie of the year? She had an amazing presentation. So many awesome learning moments. I guarantee your young lacrosse goalie is going to benefit tremendously from going through these videos, studying the tips, taking notes. If you want to get the replays, laxgoalierat.com/VIP. It is an insane value. Most of these coaches charge about $100 an hour. We're talking over 19 hours of goalie coaching for a fraction of that. Check it out, laxgoalierat.com/VIP. Enjoy the show. Pleasure to welcome to the show, it's Bailey Terry, high school sophomore, 2025 goalie. Bailey, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah. Pleasure having you on. For those that don't know you, and I'm going to go ahead and assume it's everybody that doesn't know you, save for maybe a couple family members listening, but why don't you go ahead and give us a little introduction, where you're from, how long you've been playing lacrosse, and how long you've been the goalie.
Okay. So I'm from Rockville, Maryland. I've been playing lacrosse since first grade, so coming up on 10 years. And I started goalie in third grade, but I got super serious about it in fifth grade.
Nice. Your favorite part about being the goalie?
Definitely, like, it's kind of like we carry a lot of weight on the field with us. Like, we kind of have the most intense moments of the game, but I kind of like that because, like, you make that one good play and it makes everything, like, feel so great. Like, it's like, I don't know how to explain that feeling. When you just have a great game, it's completely out of this world.
Yeah, well, this is a lacrosse goalie podcast, so luckily every goalie is familiar with that feeling. It's really great, right? Do you have one game in particular that really, really stands out, or one moment that really stands out for you?
Yeah, so I played for both the varsity and JV teams at my high school last year, and the last regular season game for JV, we played against St. John's, which I don't know if you know that, but they play in DC, and it was, like, really intense. It was back and forth all game, but I had a lot of really great saves, in the last few minutes. I made a really important save, passed it down to my teammate. She scored right before like the time went off. It was just a great feeling, great way to end the season.
Wow, that's amazing. Congratulations. And then you got that big goalie hug afterwards, yeah?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I like it. I'd love to hear the story of the very first time you jumped into goal. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. So I remember here in like Maryland, we don't start playing with goalies until third grade. And the last game of the season in second grade, I made my coach promise to put me in on goalie at the very first game in third grade. I was like, I really want to play it. I don't know why. So she was like, okay. And I put all this stuff on at our next game and I hopped in. It was not great. I didn't have a lot of skill, but I had a lot of fun doing it.
What do you think it was about the position that really, I mean, what made you say, I want to try goalie? Was it the pads? Was it, I don't know, something else?
I just like to like try new things and it was something new for me. So,
yeah, I love it. So what up to third grade, they don't have any goalies. So it's just like it's a small goal and the kids just try and shoot on an open goal.
We do we use the triangle side of the goal.
Yeah.
For that. And it like third and fourth grade. So a lot of teams wouldn't always have like goalies or like people that wouldn't want to volunteer and stuff. So sometimes you would have like one team with a goalie and the other team would have like a triangle goal.
Yeah. Awesome. And did you play in the field as well? Or like, I mean, I guess, you know, up until that point, a triangle you did, but at what point did you say, all right, I'm going to be the goalie. Like this works for me. And did you make more of a switch to be a full-time goalie?
Probably in fifth grade. Fall of fifth grade was my last season playing rec. And I was like, I'm the only girl that's like volunteering to play goalie every single week. And I was like, when it was came time for me to try out for club, I was like, I'm going to try out as a goalie, not as a field player. And I made the team.
Nice. So. Yeah, goalies ask me, and more parents, they ask me all the time, like, what is the right age to go full-time goalie? And I don't know if there's like one particular answer. I mean, certainly by the time you reach high school, like you've got to be full-time goalie. So it's sometime before that. For you, it was fifth grade and it sounded like that was sort of the right time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What would you say is the right time? Is that it? Or could it be earlier? Could it be later? In your opinion?
It's generally like for me, the switch from rec to club just made sense to switch to full-time goalie at that point. But anytime in middle school, I think is a good time.
Mm-hmm. I like it. Cool. So how did you go about learning how to make saves then, Bailey?
It was a lot of like watching older girls at practice, watching college games. Like Megan Taylor was like a big part of that. I always loved watching the Maryland games. Like I would like the next day at practice, I would kind of copy her and the different habits she had. And that definitely made a difference.
Yeah. Yeah. Watching those older goalies, right? That's sort of how I learned the position as well, because, you know, I played in 1999 and it was a while ago before you were even born. And, you know, there wasn't much out there. So you just learn from, you know, the starter and he showed you how to do things. I think I saw on your Instagram a picture of you and Megan Taylor. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I went to the national championship like weekend at Johns Hopkins last year and I got to meet her. It was just such a great moment.
Did you tell her, hey, I learned everything about goalie position from you?
I was like, you're literally the reason I'm playing goalie today.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Well, that's awesome. And I've had her on the podcast and she's presented at the goalie summits and she's great. She's just such a champ when it comes to being passionate about lacrosse and goalies. So what a great role model, huh?
Yeah. And I definitely like, I'm a smaller goalie like she is. So that was also a big part of her becoming sort of my role model. Cause I was like, hey, look, she's the shortest girl in the field, just like me.
Mm-hmm. How would you say that being a small goalie, like how do you describe how you play different as a small goalie?
I definitely feel like as a smaller goalie, I have to bring more energy onto the field. Like I have to bring more excitement. Mm-hmm. I have to have a bigger personality, you know? And it almost like when I was younger, I felt like I had to prove myself on the field. But now I've gotten to the point where I'm like, I don't have to prove that I'm a good goalie. I'll just like play my game. But I definitely like when I was younger, I struggled with the higher saves. But my dad he's always been like, you're smaller, you can get to places like quicker than other girls can. So that's kind of, my dad's a big motivation for me.
Yeah, you'd be surprised, with the reach of the stick, you can typically get, even as a smaller goalie, like you can get to those high shots. Like how tall are you, Bailey?
I'm 5'3".
You're 5'3", right? But when you reach up, right? So that's another, that's another half foot. Then you've got like another 16 inches, 17 inches of goalie head, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, you don't need to cover what's above the bar, right? You just need to get to that bar. And so, yeah, I mean, that's the beauty of, I think, lacrosse in general and the goalie position is that folks like you and I who are shorter can have great success. But I love that comment about bringing energy, but I think that applies to both big and tall goalies. Mm-hmm. But yeah, how do you go about bringing the energy?
I run out onto the field, like I'm high-fiving my defense, like I'm cheering on my other teammates. I kind of have this tradition of whenever I get on the field, I'm banging my like stick against the poles, like hopping up and down, trying to get myself like game ready.
Yeah, I do. I love that. Yeah. I love when goalies are doing that. And are you a dancer out there? You like to kind of move around a little bit?
Sometimes like on film, you can like catch me when I, like, if you move the camera to my end, when the ball's on the other side, I'm kind of like moving around a little bit, but not like a big dancer. I just like to focus on the game.
Yeah. Love it. Very cool. And I think I also saw that not only are you a lacrosse goalie, but you also played field hockey. Yeah.
Yeah, I just tried that this year. I showed up to tryouts and they're like, oh, we don't have a goalie this year. And they were like, oh, well, Bailey plays lacrosse goalie, so she must be good at field hockey goalie too. So it kind of like, it wasn't a, like a great transition into that, but it lacrosse goalie definitely helped me like make some important saves in games this season.
How did it help you make saves?
So usually like, at like the level my school plays at, we aren't seeing like a lot of shots high up in the air for field hockey, but we did have one game where there was like a shot going up high and I just kind of like did like a chest bump out to the ball. And I was like, it was a like definitely like something I don't think without lacrosse, I don't think I would have been able to make that save.
Mm-hmm.
And it also helped me, like I had sort of that like willingness to like be able to put my body in front of the ball no matter what.
Yeah.
That's a big part of field hockey.
Right. Field hockey goalie to me seems more like ice hockey goalie in that like from head to toe, you're padded up, right? I mean, there's, you got these big thigh, big leg protectors, chest pad, all this gear. And even, I mean, I've never played field hockey, so I'm only going based on like some games I've seen and even like the movements, right? Like, so it's more, you know, if the shot comes to your off stick side, it's not like you cross over like a lacrosse goalie would.
Yeah.
You just kind of use that part of your body to block it, right?
Yeah.
But to your point, you know, just getting used to like someone firing a ball at you and being calm, right? And being relaxed, because a lot of times when that happens, especially in lacrosse, goalies trying to, you know, they tense up, their knees, you know, come forward. There's a lot of tension in their stance, and just getting used to that is a huge, you know, is a huge skill, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. Anything else on the field hockey that you think then like you brought back into your lacrosse goalie game?
Definitely some more like field awareness. Field hockey, there's like, it gets really tight in the circle. So just, and there's no crease. So like they could be right on top of me shooting and I can't do anything about it. So definitely like being like more willing to like attack the player coming at me who's ready to shoot, like being able to like take the ball away from her.
Yeah.
That's a big part of field hockey goalie.
But they can't, in field hockey, they can't like touch you, right? As a goalie.
I honestly don't know. I don't know how to for field hockey. It's such a complicated sport.
Yeah. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out later. Well, we're here to talk about lacrosse. So that's the good thing. Right. Cool. You mentioned Meg Taylor. Any other goalies that, you know, are playing at the college level or even the pro level right now that you really enjoy watching?
Oh, definitely Taylor Moreno. She
yeah.
I love watching her. She always has so much energy. She just, like, you can tell she loves the game. And I actually get to see her play tomorrow. They're doing an Athletes Unlimited showcase game.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, so I get to go watch that, and I'm super excited.
Awesome. Where's that at?
That's at the St. James in Virginia. My high school plays in the Winter League they have there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, right. Well, she's presenting at the Goalie Summit 8 next week. We're recording this December 16th. Are you going to come?
Yeah, I'm trying to see if I can come out to a couple of those because I'm excited. Like, finals are over now, so I don't really have anything planned for the next week.
Good. All right. Well, I'll see you there, Bailey. I'll see you there. Yeah, I did it later this time. We'll see if it works out, like, later in the year. Usually I do it early December, and a lot of kids had, like, you know, end of school, finals, all that stuff. So we're kind of running up against the holidays, so we'll see. We'll see how it works out. Always experimenting and trying new things, right?
Yeah.
All right. So Taylor Moreno, she's awesome. Meg Taylor, she's awesome. Who else? Anyone else?
I feel like maybe, like, a little bit of Emily Sterling. Definitely, like, any Maryland goalie, I really, like, Maryland, like, just has an unbelievable culture. And yeah. I feel like that kind of translates into their goalies.
Yeah.
Always great to watch them.
Oh, Emily's awesome as well. Yeah. Sponsored her for the last couple of years. She's great. And she, you know, all of those goalies that you just mentioned have, like you said, have so much passion for the game and this position. And it's just great to hear them talk. So, great role models. Well done. Well done. Well selected. Talk to me about your goals right now, lacrosse wise. What comes to mind?
Well, I have, like, a recruiter for college. It's definitely, like, the big year for that right now, which is kind of nerve wracking, but also exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely going out to, like, a lot of different showcases and stuff. So college is definitely, like, top of my list.
Cool. So you want to play in college, is a goal. And then you said you have a recruiter. What does that exactly mean?
So she kind of, like, I sent her an evaluation form. It kind of had, like, different, it was like how far the college I want to go should be, like, away from my house. Like, whether I, like, would choose, like, academics over lacrosse, like, how big I want the school to be, stuff like that. And then she kind of sent me back a list of, like, after watching film and stuff, where she thinks I'm at, what colleges I should be looking at now, but also, like, going forward as I go to showcases and stuff, she'll email coaches afterwards to me and simply ask yes or no, and they'll say yes or no, and then I can kind of move on, and, like, she'll help me stay on track and, like, see what colleges I really should be looking at.
Wow, that's a tremendous service. And what, like, what, if people are interested in that, what, can you give out the name?
Yes, I don't know how to pronounce her last name, but it's Coach Jess from Recruit Her.
She's Coach based Jess. In Okay. Yeah. What are the answers to those questions, if you're willing to share? How far away do you want to be? What was the other one? Do you value academics over lacrosse? Yeah. I would love to know your answers to those questions.
So I put, like, 3 to 6 hours for how far. There are definitely, like, some colleges, like, I would make exceptions for, but there's also, for academic versus sports, I kind of put them as, like, equal.
Okay.
3 to 6 hours
gets you from the DC area is pretty, you get a lot of schools in there. Yeah,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. But the West Coast is out. That's what you're telling me.
Yeah, pretty much. I don't think, like, I don't think I could live that far from
That's
where
all right. I'm at. All right. Fair enough.
I'm trying to think a lot of the other stuff, it was just, like, filling out, like, GPA, what classes I'm taking in high school and stuff.
Yeah. So what's the number one college on your list right now?
I'm definitely looking at this small college in Charlotte, Queens University. They're really building a program. They're transitioning from D2 to D1 right now. And
awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
So there's, like, a lot of colleges in the mix.
Got it. Yeah. So, like, timing wise, you're a sophomore, right? And this is kind of, like, you know, September 1st of your junior year, at least for D1 programs. I don't know about, I think D2 and D3 go by different rules, but anyway, they can start contacting you, and, right, like, it's all happening right now. Like, these are the, these are the big years. I was going to ask you, you know, when you go to these showcases, Queens College is there, right? Does that like, do you feel like an additional set of nerves? And if so, like, how do you handle that to play, like how you know how you can play?
I definitely feel those extra nerves. But I kind of like use those to like motivate me, and I don't let it get in my head. Like, I really like try not to think about it. I'm like, yes, they're here, but I just want to play my game, how I play my game. I went to the Apex Goalie Showcase this fall, and there were lots of college coaches there, but you know, I was just like, just do as well as you can. And it's kind of just like trying to get it out of your head as much as possible is definitely the biggest thing for me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. I mean, same goes when you go into like a big game, right? Like a big championship game and or a really important game, and your mind can start playing tricks on you. But you really got to, you know, not let the moment get too big and really just focus on yourself and your own game and not who's on the sidelines. I mean, it's that simple, right? Much easier said than done. It's easier sitting in our offices here in our couch. It's easy to say that. Once you get out there and your adrenaline's going and whatnot, it can be a little trickier, but yeah, that's what you got to do, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Love it. All right. Well, good luck in the recruiting process. If I can help you out in any way, definitely let me know. What advice would you give to goalies going through the same process? I know you're still in the middle of it, and that's fine, but maybe you've learned a thing or two.
Definitely. Like, so I don't know if like boys have their like something that's like kind of equal to this, but IWLCA has like kind of a partnership with sports recruits, and getting like yourself a profile for that has been a really big help. Like, you can see like what colleges are watching you, sort of. It's a good way to get people out there. But also like knowing that maybe like a big college wouldn't be the best fit for you, or understanding that like the college you thought you might want to go to may not be the same one. It's a lot of like understanding what you need as a player and not necessarily what you want as a player.
Yep. 100% agree. Great advice. All right. What does your training regimen look like these days? How are you improving your game, Bailey?
I have a private goalie coach. He's fantastic. So tomorrow I'm actually going to see him. My club does, we do like strength training together on weekends during the weekdays. And like, definitely my goalie coach has been a big help. I started working with him about a year ago, and it's made such a big difference in my game.
Who is it? Do I know him?
Maybe Gary Morgan. He's
what?
He knows like a lot of like high school goalies in the DC area. He trains a lot of us. He kind of knows like all the goalies here.
Awesome. You know, the name sounds familiar, but I definitely have not had him on the podcast, but I'll get in contact with Gary, because I love chatting goalie. What are some lessons that Gary has taught you that really come to mind?
His biggest thing is just like technique, like knowing, like understanding like how to get to the ball in the fastest way. And the biggest thing for me that like struck out after the first time I met him was he wasn't just like, oh, as a goalie, you just do this. He explained like why we move the stick a certain way. And that, like, I'm definitely someone who needs to, like, teachers, like, at school, like, they need to explain to me why something works. And that has helped me so much.
Yeah. Well, you're not the only one. I think that humans in general, like, before you describe the what, it really, you've got to let them know the why first. So you start with the why, and then you go with the what. Because if you go the other way around, like, they don't really, you know, listen as much or take it to heart. But if you explain the why first, you know, then it makes a lot more sense, I think. So cool. What about drills? What are your favorite drills to do?
So my goalie coach has me do this drill. It's kind of like to loosen up your hips in your side a little bit and your shoulders up through here. I get on my knees, like in front of a goal, and I kind of like moved a little bit towards one side, and I have someone shoot to like the opposite side of the goal, and I kind of have to like move my arms up like that. Mm-hmm. And it's really like helped me get like flexible before games, and it's a really great stretch.
Yeah.
Also, anything ladder has definitely been helpful, just getting my feet quicker.
Love it. Yeah, you'd be surprised at how much or how related like hip strength and flexibility is to being able to make saves. A lot of the like explosion that we do comes from the hips. And so, yeah, I'm always preaching yoga and keeping those hips loose. And do as I say, not as I do, because I sit a lot of day. My hips are so tight, but I do try and stretch out as much as possible. But for, yeah, I mean, goalies, you know, hip strengthening and flexibility, so key. So yeah, I love any drill that incorporates that stuff. All right. Now, have you, it sounds like you're the starter on your club team, or how do you guys manage the goalies on your club?
We just split time, however it works that weekend. Sometimes I'll start, sometimes I don't start, but both of us always get a half.
So you guys split halves?
Yeah.
Got it. Yeah. And what do you, go ahead.
Oh, and I just recently moved to my new club. So that has been like getting to like figure out like the dynamic of the team has definitely like been a big part of my fall season.
Nice. I want to talk about that. And then I want to come back to splitting halves because I'd love to talk about that as well. So how do you get to know the new girls? Because that's a very common situation, whether you are starting with a new high school team, maybe when you go to college, it's a new team, starting with a new club. Very common situation. What's been your approach to building those relationships?
So at the very, not even at the first practice, at the first day of tryouts, I just felt like immediately welcomed by everyone there.
Well, that like, helps.
Yeah, it was, everyone on my team has been so great about welcoming me. And there are also like a few other new girls on the team. So that kind of helped the transition. I knew some of the girls before I went into tryouts. So it's definitely been like a mix of those things. And also like my team has a lot of energy. Like we listen to music during practice and before games. So it's been like, that has helped it like kind of like calms down like the vibe at practice. Like it's mm-hmm. not just, like, yeah.
Cool. So it wasn't so much something that you did as much as them welcoming you with open arms, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. But you know, most teams are like that. And sometimes all it takes is, you know, one question of, hey, can I join you guys for lunch? Or, hey, can you chat? Right. And they're, you know, people are totally willing almost wanting to, you know, bring you in, but sometimes it does take, you know, you just sticking your foot out there or sticking your nose out there a little bit. Sound like in your case, Bailey, they welcomed you with open arms and that's wonderful as well. But yeah, just some tips for the other goalies listening. Okay, cool. And now you guys are cool. Communication is great. You guys got great relationships.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I love my defense so much. It's gotten to like a quick point where I sometimes don't even have to say anything and they just know where I want them to go. And that's been helpful. I'm like surprised how quick they've like caught on to my habits and stuff.
Yeah. How did you get to that point?
It's just like generally like communication. I definitely knew going into this fall season was going to be an even bigger deal than it was before because I had been playing with the same girls since first grade up until that point. So I was like, I definitely need to like show them how I play, and they just kind of adjusted their own play
mm-hmm.
to go with that.
Yeah. And I think too, it's a lot of, for me anyways, it's a lot of positive reinforcement, meaning like they make a great play and like, you know, you're right there in there. You're letting them know, wow, great play, right? Like great play. It's exactly where I want to take shots from. That's exactly when you slide. That's exactly how you stick check the ball out of the guy's, you know, whatever. as opposed to the negative reinforcement. And sometimes you got to do the negative reinforcement sometimes, right? Yeah. But like, I'm more like 75, 25 on the positive side. Cause I don't know. That's just my personality. I feel like keeping it light and positive is much more fun than like, you know, being negative, but sometimes you do need to let people know they screwed up.
And I definitely like after like a play where it maybe didn't go our way, you know, they're going back to take the draw after a goal was made. My defense, we're like definitely like, okay, let's like take what we can from that play, adjust to make sure that doesn't happen again, but like forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
Besides the things we can learn from that. Because definitely like defense is a sport, like is the like mental side of the game, like knowing when to forget things. Like it definitely, like for me, I know I've seen it in myself and other goalies, a few goals get scored on us in a row and we're just completely different players. But understanding like when to like take away what you need to take away from a play, but also knowing when to forget what you need to forget from a play.
Yeah. How were you able to do that? Because it can be very challenging for young goalies, you know, when you get five goals scored on you in a row in 2 minutes, right? It could be very challenging, right? Mm-hmm. And so what, you know, if there's a young goalie going through that, what would you say to them?
My dad kind of says this thing. He's a goldfish memory. Just like kind of you can run through the play one or two times in your head, like know like, oh, like what can I do next time? And then after that, just try your best to forget it and try to focus in like the next time the ball comes down, try to focus in on what's happening in that moment more than what happened in the last moment of the game.
Yeah.
Like staying present.
Yeah. Love it. Yeah. It's almost cliche on this podcast, but it's so true, right? That short-term memory, goldfish memory, score is always 0-0. There's so many different ways to say it, but the lesson is so true. It's like, you know, stay present. Do not let that last goal affect how you're feeling and how you're playing right now. I love the way you phrased it earlier. Like we almost become different players. And that's kind of what happens when like you're in your own head, right? It's like, you're not the same physical player as you are when you're playing with confidence, when you're, you know, feeling really good. So love that. All right. Is there any other mental game lessons that your dad has taught you or that you've learned along the way?
I do beat myself up over it sometimes, but I have this awful habit of looking at the scoreboard during games. And I try to remind myself as much as possible to just not look at it like that. Like the scoreboard does not matter in that moment. So I would definitely tell that to younger goalies, like don't look at the scoreboard.
Yeah. Unless you want to know what the score is, right?
Yeah. Unless you're actually curious, but other than that.
Unless you somehow forgot the score or the time left on the clock. I don't know. Do you guys have like those electronic scoreboards? Some fields?
Definitely for high school, not for like club tournaments and stuff. Sometimes right. My dad will like scream out the time for me.
Right. Yeah. That's how we play. We didn't have a scoreboard. We had two like flip charts with the score, right? Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? And then, yeah, someone with a stopwatch on the sideline keeping the time. And they would say like 2 minutes or, you know, give you like a 1 minute count and then a countdown. But yeah, sometimes you didn't even know how much time was left. So, all right. Going back to splitting halves, very, very common, right, amongst club teams. Usually there's two goalies. Let's see. Do you find that you perform better as a starter or better as the second half goalie or about the same?
I think better as a second half goalie, actually, because it gives me a chance to watch like how their attack runs, how certain shooters, like where they prefer to shoot and stuff. And then going into the second half, it gives me a chance. It, like, I know that stuff going in. Mm-hmm. And it's also like, I like to be that person that like brings positivity back onto the field. So maybe like the first half wasn't great. I like to tell my defense, just forget about it. Like we can do this. We can change the pace of the game.
Yeah. Love it. Yeah. And probably too, like when the game starts, I don't know how you are, Bailey, but when the game starts, like I always had a ton of nerves. Right. Yeah. And if you're the second half goalie, like, yeah, when you first go in, it's your first taste of gameplay. Maybe there's a little bit of nerves, but they've probably died down a little bit as you're jumping around and cheering for your team and you're into the game. And, you know, the game's already 1.5 hours in, and you know, so they've died down a little bit. So I imagine, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And how do you, logistics wise, half ends? Do you run out there and have a coach start warming you up, or how do you handle that?
Sometimes I do, or some at some of the tournaments, there's basically not, it's like the shortest halftime ever. It's like a minute and a half, just like grab your water and go.
Yeah.
So sometimes they don't get that chance, but if we're at a tournament where we have more time, I definitely prefer to be warmed up.
So what do you do? What do you do at those tournaments then? Just kind of jump around a little bit and that's it, and get in there?
Sometimes we'll have like an empty field for warm-ups. So before, like if my team gets it early enough, I can have one of the players warm me up. This year, so we had one of our like good attackers, she tore ACL last year. Mm-hmm. So she was kind of like the like honorable goalie this year. She helped us during warm-ups and stuff, mm-hmm. which was nice. But she's gonna start playing again this summer. So I don't know who's gonna warm us up, but we'll figure it out.
Find somebody. Get a parent. Throw a stick in a parent's hand. Have them warm you up. All right, cool. Let's see. And then are you the starter now for your high school team?
So last year I didn't get a lot of playing time on varsity. So that was kind of like the switch to JV. I played most of the games for JV unless we were up by a lot, but I'm definitely think I'll get more playing time this year.
Yep. For varsity. And how is that for you being the backup? It can sometimes be, challenging, you know, especially if you're a competitive person, right? You want to get out there, you want to play. And I'm curious, you know, how you handled that.
It was definitely like before the point where I talked to my coach and I was like, I want to be moved down to JV so I can get playing time. Like there was a couple of weeks where I just didn't see game time at all. And that really like my confidence went down so much during that time, especially because my coach, he wasn't telling me like why I wasn't playing. I was asking him, I didn't get any answers. So definitely it encouraged me though to like do better in practice, to like try to beat her out. But I think it helped. And then later in the season, the other goalie couldn't go to our playoff game. So I got to kind of step up as a player, which was a fun moment. It was a rough game for everyone, but it was a good moment for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Get in there to get some playing time when it counts the most. You know, I was talking to Josh Kearson, who played for Hopkins since graduate. He did his grad year at Hopkins, and he said like the worst year of his career was when he was like the very clear favorite, and there was like a second the second string was, he was just so much better than the second string, right? There was no competition. He was the very clear starter. And in that case, it makes sense, right? You don't push yourself as hard because you're like, all right, the job's mine. Whereas when you got someone nipping on your heels, mm-hmm. guess what? You're taking extra shots. You're working your butt off as much as you can, right? So yeah, I to your point, great one. Like, yeah, you need that competition and you should welcome it and you should encourage it. All right. Have you had a moment in your career, goalie career, where you've gone through a slump? And if so, how'd you get out of that?
Definitely. There have been several times, you know, but my like biggest thing, like watching film, like kind of like evaluating my shots, like slowing it down to like see what I was doing, and then like kind of like writing stuff down, like talking to my goalie coach and being like, look, this is what's happening. He takes a few shots. He's like, yeah, I can see that. And then just working over the next few weeks to get those habits out of me.
Yeah.
And it's also, but there's also like the mental side of that where I have to get myself like back in the mindset, like this is just a slump. This is not like I wasn't playing to the best of my abilities. I'm not a bad goalie. I just didn't have a great game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very important to realize, right? Because in the moment, it feels like, oh man, I'm not a good goalie. but you know, if you've had a stretch of four games where you are good and you're playing and you know the level that you're capable of playing at and you just don't reach that, that's a slump, right? And you're going to get out of it. I'm curious if you could share like what were you mentioned, like, you know, working with your coach to, and he's like, yeah, I could see it. Like, what was the particular issue there, if you recall?
So it was earlier this fall tournament season. After our first tournament, I was like, oh my God, like I was feeling so awful after it. And my team has a film camera that we use, and I watched it. And I was like, okay, I know exactly what shot it was. Almost every goal that was made on me was off stick hip.
Mm.
So I told my coach, and he kind of like showed me like my arms weren't in the right places. I wasn't like coming out at enough of a 45. And I think I have a video on my Instagram about that. And I was just like working to get that out of me.
Cool. I'll definitely check that one out.
Yeah.
Is it this one right? Well, you can't see my screen. Is it this one right here where the girl in the green sweatshirt shooting on you?
Let me look.
No, don't worry. Don't worry about it. We'll check it out. We'll check it out later. cool. Well, thank you for sharing that. Yeah. And that's awesome. That's awesome. Okay. A couple more questions. So what, if you had to give yourself some, with all the experience that you have right now, if you had to give you know, the younger you some advice, what would that be?
I think definitely like over the past couple of years, having a good coach has become a priority for me. Like that was something that is why I switched clubs. Definitely like understanding that if a coach wasn't a goalie, like isn't a goalie coach, that you kind of have to take everything they say with like a grain of salt, like understanding that they may not know what's best for you as a goalie. And I think that's definitely something I would tell my younger self. Like sometimes like you're like the coach that's like the main coach for your team and like played field in college and stuff, you know, doesn't always know what's best for the goalie on the team.
Mm. So have you been in the situation, Bailey, where you had a coach tell you something that you didn't agree with?
Definitely.
And how did you handle that? What was it? How did you handle that?
I just kind of, I'm like kind of a shy person sometimes when it comes to like authority figures and stuff, but I kind of was like, well, I don't know. And I would just be like, I don't think my goalie coach would like that very much. And I would be like, I'll try it out in practice, but I don't think I'll try it out in a game.
Mm-hmm.
It was definitely like explaining to them that you don't think it's what's best for you, but you're willing to give it a try. 9 times out of 10, I did not use the stuff they taught me in games.
Yeah. I think that's the exact way I would recommend handling it, right? Because there's a lot of different ways to play this position. There's a lot of different goalies who have different styles, mm-hmm. right? Whether we're talking about Meg Taylor, you know, and Emily Sterling, they've got very, you know, narrow bases, like very step at the 45, or you got some goalies that have a wide base and step laterally. Mm-hmm. So a lot of different ways to make saves. And I do think that it's worth trying, you know, as much stuff as possible, because you never know. You never know. And sometimes you try something new and you're like, wow, this is great. I love it. Right. Never realized it. And then other times you try it and you're like, that does not feel comfortable, nor do I see it being comfortable like 2, 3, 4, 5 practices from now. So like, that's not for me. And that's great too. So yeah, I do think it's worth trying, but then sometimes you do need to have like a very adult conversation with that coach and explain like, hey, you know, this is how I feel better playing, and I'm not going to do that wide base technique that you taught me, or I feel better with the narrow base, just as one example. Right. But yeah, love it. Awesome. Well, Bailey, thank you so much for coming on the show. This has been tons of fun. What stick do you use? What's your stick setup?
My shaft is ECD and I have an STX head. I'm not sure like what specific one it is. I've had it for a while, and before that I think I used the same head when I was younger. I'm not sure.
Eclipse 2. I see it right here in the pics.
Yeah, that's what I think. Yeah.
There you go. I can see you're not very much into the gear, huh?
No, not really.
I use what I got.
Yeah, and it's like I've used like the same type of sticks since I've started playing, so it's just like kind of comfortable with.
Awesome. Bailey, what, any other stories or anything else you feel like we should touch on, or is that pretty good?
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I thought that was great. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. If people want to follow you, kind of follow your progress, should they follow you on Instagram?
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's BaileyT.lax.
BaileyT.lax. Okay. Well, we will we'll link up to that when this show comes out. Do me a favor. Show that sweatshirt off. Hoco Lacrosse. There we go. Bailey, if you had to leave the goalies out there with a final piece of advice, what would that be?
Just for me, the biggest thing over the last year is mental game. Understanding that goalie is a position where the mental game is just as important as your technique. So, like, making sure you're taking care of yourself.
Very well said. Bailey, thank you so much.
Thank you.
So there you have it. Hope you enjoyed that episode. That was 2025 goalie Bailey Terry. Going to be awesome to watch her her progress over the next couple of years, finishing out high school, graduating in 2025, 2 years, two more years to go. Awesome to hear her story, hear about what some of the youth goalies are doing to train, what they're struggling with, and where we can all help. Maybe some of the things that she talked about rang true for you and your youth lacrosse goalie, or maybe they didn't. I think they do. I think a lot of youth lacrosse goalies go through the same thing, face a lot of the same challenges, and so it's cool to hear some of the stories of goalies and people just like you in your situation going through the same things that you're going through. If you made it to this far in the episode, I want to say thank you so much for spending this time with me. It is the end of February and college lacrosse season is here, so I hope you're watching, hope you're following that. I just got done watching the PLL Championship Series, the Sixes. Man, I got to say, that's pretty brutal on the lacrosse goalies. It is just goalies getting bombarded with shots and two-pointers from like 12 or 13 yards away. Like I said, if you're still here, thank you so much for spending this time with me. I'm giving live lessons, live training sessions inside the LAX Goalie Rat Academy. It's just $40 a month, and it's kind of like the Netflix of lacrosse goalie training. You get access to over 130 hours, 130 sessions with all kinds of pros. Brian Phipps, Kyle Bernlohr, Colin Kirst, Liz Hogan, Kaylee Waters, Taylor Moreno. I could go on and on. There's 130 elite goalies giving you awesome training sessions via Zoom. Like I said, get in there. It's only $40 a month, and it will really encourage your youth goalie, really up their lacrosse IQ and up their motivation to learn this beautiful sport. You can check that out, laxgoalierat.com/camp. laxgoalierat.com/camp. In the meantime, get out there, get some work in, do well, and be well. I'm Coach Damon. Take care.
You've been listening to the LAX Goalie Rat Podcast with your host, Coach Damon Wilson.